Okay, here we go. What are we, episode 70? Wow, 70. Sheesh. Okay.
I know. We're so old.
Hello and welcome to episode 70 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
And I'm Derek.
So, Derek.
Yeah.
Do you by chance listen to other podcasts?
I do. I listen to many other podcasts.
Do you listen to one called 20,000 Hertz?
No. Is that like one of those like NPR-esque shows or like Radiotopia?
Yes. Oh, do you not like those?
You know, I listened to like 99% Invisible for a long time.
Have never listened to that one.
Okay, that's same kind of thing. Is that show actually NPR or
no,
the
it's
one
not.
You're talking
it's,
about?
It's by a sound design company called DeFacto Sound.
Okay.
Well, I think you'll like it. But okay. It's really great. It's quickly becoming one of my favorites. I've recorded it on the show before. I didn't know if you had heard of it or heard it.
Mm-hmm. Well, those types of shows, the problem, like, so I listened to 99% Invisible for a long time, and then I discovered, like, I discovered after a while that I wasn't really processing the episodes anymore. Like, the thing is, the way I listen to podcasts is I listen to mostly conversational podcasts. So podcasts that are really edited down to be like very dense and delightful to hear at 1x speed, you know, without taking out the silences or anything. I don't like process them very well.
That is really good feedback. I feel exactly the same way, actually. I've started listening. I sort of made an informal rule for myself that I wouldn't listen to. It's called narrative journalism. I wouldn't
listen to
narrative journalism podcasts while I was at work because I couldn't focus on them. And I think you've very concisely and sufficiently explained why.
Mm-hmm. It's just a different headspace.
I just never thought about it that much.
It's just a different headspace. Because conversational stuff you can kind of listen to in the background and kind of catch up on later, whereas like...
Well, even sermons, I feel like, because there's a lot of sermon podcasts, you know? When I used to listen to a bunch of those, it was like this, I understand what's being said and I could tell you after, even if I was doing something else. But you're right, with the narrative journalism stuff, I really probably couldn't or can't.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, what's been going on with you? Oh, I thought for a second you had AirPods in, but no, there is a wire attached to them. I was like,
yes,
did Ben suddenly get AirPods without telling us?
No, I would never buy AirPods.
Really? Are you not into the Bluetooth thing, or you just think they're expensive for what they are?
That.
Okay, all right. That's fair.
I think... Have I said this before? I think if Apple would have just shipped AirPods with the iPhone 7 for free, then... No one would be talking about the headphone jack. It would have been the best decision they could ever make.
Oh, that's absolutely true, but they would have lost a whole lot of money on that.
I don't agree. I really don't think that. I think they probably would have lost money, yes, but I don't think they would have lost a whole ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, the PR off of that would have been excellent. Well, as long as they like actually got the AirPods. This is presuming that they got the AirPods done before, you know, like ready to ship with the iPhone.
Oh, I guess they weren't ready to ship with the iPhone too. That's another thing.
Yeah, they didn't come out till like 5 days before Christmas or something like that. So some people just barely got them for Christmas.
No, that's a good point. But the thing is, they're still marking up, the hardware differences. Mm-hmm. Like 16 gig to 32 gig is a $100 increase. There's no way. They're probably making like 300% margin on that or something insane.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it just doesn't cost that much.
Yep.
So it's like you can eat the cost of the free AirPods easily with the markup you're getting on the more expensive phones.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. I don't know. I get like it seems crazy or something, but I don't know. I feel like it's not that crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's always been Apple's game to... They produce high-end hardware and mark it up a bunch and, you know, make us pay for it. So we appreciate it, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like, weren't you doing something interesting this week? Or no? Oh, yeah. There was a thing you did last. Was it last week or this week?
Yeah,
you met
last
someone.
Week. I did meet someone. Yeah. I met someone whose books I have, some books I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, how many books do I have from this person? I'm looking at my bookshelf. Well, I don't know. Anyway, I met James White.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
So, did you get your back signed or anything?
No, I actually forgot to bring the book I was going to have him sign. I have Forgotten Trinity, and I was going to have him sign it, but forgot to bring it, and so that didn't happen.
Man, you and Craig both, huh? Well, I guess Craig didn't really forget. He just couldn't.
Yeah, he didn't forget. He couldn't bring his.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well.
I just was an oaf. But yeah, I went up to him afterwards and asked him some questions, highly specific, highly detailed questions. And I was like, no one cares about this but me, but I want to know, so I'm going to ask you. So I did. And it was interesting. I made some jokes. He laughed. I was happy. And then I took a picture with him. It was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
He's so basically great. Exactly what I expected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a nice non-specific, yet also very specific explanation.
Yeah, it's awesome. I would recommend, if you have a chance to meet James White in person, do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet. Let's see what else has been going on. Oh, I've been having plumbers dig into my yard recently. I don't know if you care about that or not. You may not care about that.
I have been there, and yeah. It's never great.
Yeah, this is like plan D at this point, as far as getting a drain into our basement. Whoever put the addition under our house that has the bathroom and the kitchen decided to put the drain outside of the house without bringing it into the basement so that it's accessible if we, you know, happen to want to put in a water softener that has just a tiny little drain goes out. It's silly. Silly. People.
Sorry, man.
It's okay.
Plumbing is never fun.
Yeah. I got to learn how to do it at some point so I don't have to have other people do it.
I wish you the best when you do
that. I mean, I'm an electrician. How hard can it be?
I think you're going to regret saying that.
Well, I don't know. I've gotten into a lot of uncomfortable positions, you know, doing electrical over the years. So
you're going to be waist deep in standing water that smells absolutely terrible someday soon in the near future. And you're going to be thinking, remember that one time I told Ben that I should learn how to do this on Tech Reformation? I so much regret that.
And then I'll tell the story then on Tech Reformation. All right, we are into Tech You Should Know now, where we take a few news stories from the past week and talk about them. Big news from Apple for developers and consumers alike this week. Developers will finally be able to respond to App Store reviews. This is something that I remember was initially clamored for at the genesis of the App Store, but I think everyone's hope for this just kind of died after 8 years, even after Google implemented the feature in Google Play early on. So once iOS 10.3 is released, this functionality will be enabled.
Well, I think this is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good because, you know, I've heard like Marco complain about, and others complain about like bad reviews for beta release OS versions, you know? So it's like an opportunity to correct some of that, hopefully cut down on some of that. That would be good. It's like you're using this on iOS 10 beta. Of course it doesn't do what you want it to do. Like, don't rate my app poorly because of that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But I'm sure there's a lot of other use cases for it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were actually a lot of good features announced in the, well, not announced, but like discovered in the iOS 10.3 beta. What do you think about did you see the deal where there's an API for asking for ratings now?
Oh, no, that's cool.
So instead of having everyone create their own reminders to, hey, rate and review my app if you really like it, and you know, forces you to exit the app and go into the iTunes store and
yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah, that's
everyone knows what you're explaining if they have an iPhone and they hate it. Yes. Everyone has the intense, fiery passion of a thousand burning suns about hating that feature.
Yep. So what this does is it limits the number of times you can ask someone to 3 times a year. And once
that's cool.
Yeah. And once you, once the person rates the app, they can't ask you again. So I don't know if that's cool for like too. A year or what the time limit is on that, but yeah, it's pretty great. And
I like that a lot.
There's a system-wide toggle to turn that off. So if you really hate it, you can just turn that off completely.
Neat. That is cool.
Oh, and the plus side to the little window is you can just tap your rating and then say okay, and you're still in the app. And it's very nice, very nice. I will probably just keep that toggle on if people use it. Sprint just bought a 33% stake of Tidal, the ever-beleaguered music service run by the 1% of artists. While Sprint and other carriers have struck deals with the other streaming services before, this is the first time I think I've seen a carrier directly invest in a streaming service. What's really weird about this story, though, is a piece from Music Business Worldwide citing sources that say the sale cost Sprint around $200 million, which would put the valuation of Tidal at $600 million, which is ridiculous. When Jay-Z relaunched the company, it was valued at $250 million. And last year, it was rumored that Samsung was considering buying the company for $100 million. And it's not like Tidal has rocketed to success in the past year or so. So I don't know what's going on. But that if Sprint actually paid that much, I don't know what they see. It is the advantage for this for them.
And in a few weeks, the news will be Sprint betrays net neutrality by giving people free streaming on Tidal, but no other service.
That zero rating, though. Not good. Not good.
Nope.
3D TVs are dead. A piece from TechCrunch this week observed that all of the things...
These news things are so Derek.
Well, thank you. Thank you. A piece from TechCrunch this week observed that of all the things released or announced at CES this year, 3D TVs are blessedly not one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, the market has become tired of the gimmick, with LG's Tim Alessi telling CNET, purchase process research shows that it's not a top buying consideration, and anecdotal information indicated that actual usage was not high. We decided to drop 3D support for 2017 in order to focus our efforts on new capabilities, such as HDR, which has much more universal appeal.
I don't know why they were ever a thing. I'm glad they're finally not going to be a thing soon, except when you said they're dead, I was just laughing because probably a lot of people still have them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But, but I mean, I don't know. Like,
if you have a 3D TV currently, it does not mean that instantly when I said that your TV does not work anymore.
Yeah. It probably still works, we assume.
And if it does not work, let me know because I need to figure out the superpower.
Yeah. So also, it could just be totally unrelated.
And or that.
Eerily timed.
I don't think I've even witnessed what a 3D TV in front of my face. Like, I've seen...
Oh, I have. It's not that spectacular.
Yeah, I've seen stickers on people's TVs of houses that I've visited, but...
I'm sorry if you have one, but I've never really been impressed.
Yeah. I'm into 3D in a movie theater, though. That makes sense to me. I enjoy that.
I think 3D is a gimmick unless it's in VR. And that's not really even 3D.
Yeah. Well, I mean, VR is obviously the superior experience, I would say, but...
Well, yeah. There's probably no debating that. But I just feel like most movies, it's just like, use of 3D is something's coming at your face. Oh my gosh, scare you.
Yeah, right.
Oh, the one time I saw something really innovative with 3D in a movie was The Hobbit, the first Hobbit. They used the 3D to communicate, I guess is the right word, depth, like into the house. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that is really interesting. So it looked like you could like peek your head around a corner. That's pretty neat. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But everything else I've seen basically is just like something's coming for you. It's a bug or it's a missile or whatever, you know.
That is the thing with 3D. I remember, like, I can tell, like, I can, when I watch a movie, like, that, originated back when like 3D first started becoming a thing in movie theaters, like I can tell that it was made to be a 3D movie because you can see, you know, that ball would not have gone that closely by the screen or that monster would not have peeked in right there at that corner if it was not a 3D, you know.
I guess the first time it happened, it was kind of neat. Mm-hmm. But now it's just like everyone does it because there's some sort of expectation that they will, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just weird. I feel like philosophically, it's also sort of weird with storytelling in movies because it's almost like a form of breaking the fourth wall, which is not always appropriate depending on the... Like sometimes that's like part... Like Deadpool, that's part of... I have not seen Deadpool, but I know about Deadpool. Mm-hmm. And that's like part of it is that he breaks the fourth wall all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's a little different. But in a normal movie... That's not a part of it. And it's like a, it's a drawback if it is.
Which is really ironic considering that 3D is supposed to be more immersive, but when you use it.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, great it breaks point. The storytelling.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want anything that rips me out of the experience. That just seems counterintuitive.
Yeah. Yeah. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, just released its report. I'm sorry. I'm in a strange mood tonight.
It's great.
So anyway, they just released their report on the May 2016 fatal accident involving a Tesla Model S. Tesla. Giving Tesla the all clear and noting that Autopilot has dropped the crash rate of Tesla vehicles by 40%. Before Autosteer was installed, which is the lane following and passing feature of Autopilot, the crash rate was 1.3 per million miles and dropped to 0.8 after it was installed. So, Tesla's claim that adding autonomy to a car, even at the low level that Autopilot is at currently, is safer than just a human driver seems spot on.
I still think Tesla has named this feature terribly.
Tesla?
Oh, I thought we were just picking random pronunciations whenever we felt like it.
Okay, I have actually been listening to people who talk about Tesla.
I opted for the silent S.
Tesla.
Tesla, what?
This will become a new Tesla. Running gag Tesla. In my stories now. I've been listening to people pronounce the name of this electric car company, and I get like 50-50 from people, like on podcasts. Like I'll hear people say Tesla or Tesla. Yeah.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Is there another word in the English language where an S is pronounced like a Z? Listeners, help us out here. We need to crowdfund this. No, not crowdfund. We need to crowdsource this one.
Yes, we need to crowdsource.
We don't need your money necessarily, although if you want to give it to us, that's great. But that's not what I'm asking for right now. I need to crowdsource this. Is there another word in the English language where an S is pronounced like a Z?
I'm sure.
Tell us in Slack, episode discussion channel, please.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or feel free to upload like you saying the word too. Like you can just upload files. So I just want to see like dozens of audio files of people saying random words in the English language with S as a Z.
We could just get people to upload their way of saying Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could just insert that every time we need to talk about Tesla.
Or we'll just do a huge supercut. Huge Tesla supercut.
Of all the Tesla's pronunciations. Excellent. We've talked, I don't think, anything about the actual story.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, you have gone on record on this show saying that Autopilot should not be named as such because it gives people a false sense of security.
Yes.
Where do you stand on that currently?
Statistics don't bear that out, huh?
Yeah.
They seem to support the alternative claim, which is that it's actually a good thing and it's helping people drive better, which that is great. And I'm all for that. That's awesome. But it's still not Autopilot because I can't just jump in the car and it start driving me everywhere. That's not Autopilot unless it does that.
That's true.
But whatever. Well, I don't know. Is that true? Like other things that have Autopilot, do they do completely autonomous? Because maybe that's just not what Autopilot means. And it's all the problem is all within my brain, the misunderstanding that I have around what Autopilot is and is not.
Well,
that could be it.
See, you turn on autopilot once you're on the freeway, much like you might turn on autopilot. I'm not a pilot. Like when you're flying. Yeah.
Here we go.
I'm not a person that flies planes, but my assumption for how autopilot works in a plane, you know, instance is that you take off, you get to altitude or whatever, and then you hit autopilot until you get to around where you need to go, and then you land it by yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm just now realizing this problem with everything I've said on public record.
Sweet. Well, we all learn things.
So that's terrible. I hereby repent of my,
well,
I don't know.
But the fact of the matter is that Tesla still doesn't recommend like leaning back and relaxing on the interstate without touching the wheel at all. Like you're supposed
because
to stay.
It's not autopilot.
Because it's not auto. So still technically you're okay.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. I'm glad we got full circle there.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And that's all the tech you should know this week. If we left something out, feel free to tweet us at Tech Reformation. Let us know if there's something interesting that you think we should talk about.
Now it's time for Tech You Should Use, the part of the show where we talk about one piece of technology, which is a term we should probably define because we talk about so many varied things on this segment of the show.
Yep.
But
yep.
Something that has helped us that we think will probably be helpful for you, depending on what you're trying to accomplish, I suppose.
Yes. It's useful to our lives, and it has to do. Yeah, at some point, it exists on an electronic device or it is an electronic device.
Yeah, typically it involves electricity, and that's how we get away with saying technology.
There we go. Well,
we should do one week where
I mean,
it's like
if you're
hammer.
Going with the true technology definition, we got to start talking about chairs, too.
Yeah, we should do one week where it's like hammer or fire or wheel. Wheel, that's a good one. This week, tech you should use, the wheel.
I use it to get around places. I put it in my motorized vehicle, and it takes
I have one
me.
In my washing machine.
Yep. There you go. Perfect.
Sort of, I guess. Anyway. Yeah. And so that's tech you should use this week, the wheel. Yeah, it'll help you.
Well, but before we go, I have this piece of this something that I've been meaning to ask you about. It's this thing called Enab? Enab? What is this?
YNAB.
Oh, yes. Thank you for helping me pronounce that. I'm good now. Let's move on.
Yeah, so this week we wanted to talk about a piece of software called You Need a Budget, or YNAB. People that love it, and there are a lot of people who love it, call it YNAB.
Yes.
It's sort of like got a cult following, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. And
I have quickly become one of those cult followers, so pray for me. Just kidding.
So YNAB had like last year went through this huge transition into like online-based
software as a service.
Yeah, software as a service. So it's a subscription now. Were you a part of YNAB before then?
I was, yes.
Okay.
I jumped onto YNAB. I don't know how old they are, but the first one I jumped onto was version 4. Yeah, that's right, right? Yeah, I think version 4. I don't know. It's either 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex from The Rugged Marriage, friend of the show, who's been on episode 26, I think, on CRISPR, or 27.
Wow.
One of those.
That's a good memory. Let me look.
It was something like that. And then the one right after it was encryption, and the one right before it was The Bible Project. It has to be 26.
Yeah, it was 26. Oh, my goodness.
Yes!
I don't know how you did that.
27 was encryption, 25 was The Bible Project. Okay, don't quiz me on the like 30 through 40, because I don't know those as well. Anyway, he recommended it on The Rugged Marriage, his podcast, which is also a great podcast, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried it out. Back when Rugged Marriage was starting out, they did an episode on finance, and he basically was like, hey, we have a code that'll get you $6 off, and also I'll volunteer to Skype call with you and walk you through it, and you can try it out for, you know, a month, and you don't have to pay anything. So if you don't like it, just that's fine. Like, you don't have to use it. So I Skyped with him, and that's actually how we met. And he walked me through it and even looked at like my family's finances and stuff, and was super, super helpful in just budgeting stuff in general, but also how to use this software. We've been using it ever since. So it's been at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time, it has saved my marriage. which is a joke because I've only been married like less than 2 years. But people always, they don't know how to take that. So they don't typically
laugh. It's like, is that a joke that I can laugh at, or is he serious? Yeah, marriage jokes are always funny like that.
The reason I say that, though, is that before we had, you know, YNAB, and we didn't budget before we had YNAB, so my policy was don't spend any money, and that way we won't run out and we'll be able to eat, right? Perfect. And I just was like super extremist, radical, it was horrible, and my wife felt like trapped and crippled by it, obviously. Mm. Like anybody listening understands why that would be. Previously I was living by myself, living with my parents, living alone, didn't have any bills. So it was like, I could do that because I didn't have a whole lot of stuff to pay for. But now it's like, you can't, like if you own a house, you have to spend money if you want to eat or have a dog or, you know, whatever. So anyway, it was just really great for us because we were able to have conversations we didn't have before. And now like we spend money and it's not, it's not crushing for anyone. It's just great.
Yeah. Yeah. So YNAB is based on an envelope budgeting system.
Yes. A la Dave Ramsey.
Yes. Yes.
Though I don't agree with everything he says.
Right. I feel like we have to put that disclaimer after whenever we bring up Dave Ramsey. But yeah. So I have been doing my budget. So I have been recently like dipping my foot into other budgeting softwares that I think may satisfy my need for envelope budgeting. Because currently I use Moneywell, which is the theory of it is good. Like, it's a functional app, but it's not very well supported or developed for. Like, it's not being very quickly developed for. Like, there's still...
I think that's how most of these budgeting software things are, other than YNAB.
Yeah. Well, so like, now there is an exception to it called, there's an app called MoneyWiz that I used.
Moneywell, MoneyWiz, MoneyWallow, MoneyWallet. It has to be MoneyW something. You can play too if you want. MoneyWafer.
MoneyWafer. MoneyWiz is actually very well developed, but it doesn't really do envelope budgeting the way I wanted to yet. And that's the only other envelope budgeting system that has apps on everything, on Mac, Windows, iOS, etc., that is paid up front, right? So I still like the paid up front thing, but I think I'm switching to YNAB. So I dipped my toe into YNAB. I'm playing with this a little bit. I think I'm gonna stick with it. It's $50 a year, right?
Yeah. It's $5 a month, or if you pay yearly, I think it's 50. I would have to check. I'm on, which just, since I was on the classic version, we have like a pretty hefty discount for the first year or two.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, so it's pretty sweet. But I don't remember exactly what like new customers would pay for that reason. Mm-hmm. I know it's $5 a month. I just don't remember what the yearly is.
Yeah. So YNAB is also like, it actually teaches you how to budget if you don't know how to budget yet.
Holy cow. They say, yeah, $50 a year. They say new budgeters save $200 their first month and more than $330 by month nine.
More than $330 by month.
I'm sorry. What is it with me in digits? It's like zero digits. Anyway, $3,300.
Oh, okay.
What did I say the first time?
$300.
You see how hard it is? You judged me.
No. So anyway, so I'm liking this a lot. It's very easy to get into. Like when you like dump all your account information in, like you just start with your base balance. And then you can divvy out the balances to different, categories from there. And of course you put money into the envelopes or buckets and, my terminology is buckets from Moneywell. So forgive me if I keep using envelopes and buckets interchangeably, same thing. But you know, you put it into groceries, you know, your water bill, your whatever, and then you spend out of those, and it's very easy to do. And this syncs very nicely across all the all the apps everywhere. There's a web app. There's not really a desktop app, and there doesn't really need to be, I guess.
There was one. They moved away from...
Yeah.
The classic version that I started with was a desktop app that was backed by Dropbox. So all of your files were on Dropbox, and it would sync to it. In the web version, they have all your files now.
Yeah.
Like all your data.
Well, and that's how Moneywell worked too. Like, it syncs to Dropbox, but its sync is just awful. I don't know how...
Well, that's how a lot of companies will do it, because it's so much cheaper. They don't have to pay for the storage.
Oh, but I've used good Dropbox syncing, and this Moneywell does not do good Dropbox syncing. Yeah.
YNAB's was good when it was Dropbox. It was a little delayed, but it's a lot better now that it's online. Mm-hmm. But I think, a lot of these programs for budgeting, you're going to find you can get a lot out there for free. Mm-hmm. I would say that the one probably biggest, and maybe only in my opinion, drawback to YNAB is the cost. It is more expensive than most of the competitors, if not all. Mm-hmm. But I would say it's well worth it in my experience.
I think so too. And I think we are going to go past the 2 month. Quick pro tip. If you try to sign up on a mobile device, they will say, I'm sorry, we can't let you set this up on a mobile device right now, but if, we'll send this link to your email and we'll give you 2 months of YNAB free instead of 1 month. So do that.
If that's extra, cool.
Yeah. So just a quick tip there.
Yeah. Just so folks know, the whole like method, Derek rightly mentioned the envelopes, which is a main core piece of it, but they also have like their four rules. Have you seen this?
Yes. And I actually subscribed to the podcast.
A podcast.
There is there. They're like podcast snacks. They're like four.
Wait
or five
a minute.
Episodes.
Everyone hold, please. I'm going to download this sucker right now. That is awesome.
Yeah, he talks about a bunch of different stuff. Like,
boom, you need a budget. Jesse Meacham. I don't know who that is, but
that's the guy who started it. And it's Meacham. Jesse Meacham.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? It's Tesla. So
he's the guy that started YNAB.
Holy cow. This is old.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I did not know. I thought this was like a new thing. Sweet. Well, I'm totally going to check that out later.
Yeah.
Anyway, their four rules are: rule one, give every dollar a job.
Yep.
So assign every dollar that you take in, a value or like a place to be spent. And that includes savings. So it's not like you just, I don't spend this $100. That's my savings. And then like you actually put it in the savings category. Mm-hmm. Rule two, embrace your true expenses. Derek, do you want to talk about this one?
Sure. So your true expenses would be things like clothing, like the stuff that... So there's like immediate obligations, which would be like the stuff you have to pay or else you'll be like out of a house or starving, or so that kind of thing, or out of a job because you can't drive to work, that sort of stuff. And then you have your true expenses, which are, the other things that are necessary. But not immediately necessary, right? So those are maybe like, so you can have these kind of tiers going on. Is that about right?
Well, yeah, it's just like, so against the kind of the credit fad, buying things on credit fad, if you don't spend more money than you make, and so when you have a bill coming, like your mortgage, if your mortgage is $500 a month, then you don't just like, you've got to account for not just this month's, but next month's. Those are your true expenses. You know that you're going to have to pay that bill. So rule three is roll with the punches, which means be flexible. And like overspending happens. So you're going to go over budget. Alex told me one pro tip he had whenever I was first setting it up was your budget probably won't stabilize for the first 6 months, which is I found to be fairly true. And we've actually made small to sometimes larger changes over time to kind of see what works. But you really need time to go to roll with it and to see how sort of it works best for you. Mm-hmm. So if you overspend or if you feel like you need more the next time or something like that, you're really tight 1 month and you need to put more in there. Or maybe you didn't spend very much and you only need a little bit. Make those changes and you can make them immediately because YNAB lets you do that. And so that's not a bad thing. It's not like your budget is canon and you cannot change it ever. It's immutable. That's not the case.
You will make mistakes for your first 3 months. Like,
that's right.
That is not possible for you to not make mistakes your first 3 months. Once you get past that, you'll start to get a better idea of what's going on. And like, okay, this is generally probably what I need. You can, at that point, you'll start being like looking forward to the next month and seeing, you know, what kind of be able to tell what's going on. But even then, like now, I mean, I've got a very expensive hole in my backyard right now, so I'm going to have to roll
those
with the punches.
The worst.
Yeah. I'm going to have to roll with the punches this, you know, coming month, quite a bit, but, you know, I've been budgeting for the past couple of years, so I'm kind of prepared for this kind of stuff, you know.
And rule four, the final one, is age your money. And what that means is, so like with us, the money that we make this month actually pays for our stuff that we need next month.
Mm-hmm.
And in the old YNAB, you could only be 1 month ahead. In the new YNAB, you can be as far ahead as you want to be. So they had people, you know, I told you there was kind of a cult following. A lot of people use this and love it. But one of the big requests between the old and the new was, let me use this month's for like 6 months from now. So some people were like 6 months ahead, but there was really no way to handle that in the app. So they had all these hacky ways to do it. Well, now it's like you have budgeted, like you have one category that is to be budgeted and it can just sit there until you need it. Which is great. Like, so, and, but like, don't break rule one because of that. Like,
yeah.
Once you have something in to be budgeted, go assign it a value, or a category in whatever month ahead you are. And so, this takes time. A lot of people can't just like start YNAB and then immediately start paying for, next month with the money they're making this month. But you can, I think with YNAB, be strategic enough to get there. You just have to budget savings a little bit more on the front end. But man, once you're there, you know, they tell you to have a couple of months salary in savings in case you lose your job or something, or somebody dies or something like horrible happens. Like, obviously we don't want that to happen, but just to be prepared. If you're aging your money, if you're paying for next month with this month, then you've got that extra buffer of like, in case I lose my job, I'll have a month to find one, and so on. And so it's just a good practice.
So like, wait, how does this work? So I was wondering about the age of money thing, because currently mine, I mean, I just set mine up earlier this month. So my age of money is 3 question marks. So
that just means it hasn't had enough time to track.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how this works yet. Does this mean that I have to have like, if I want 12 months worth of like of salary built up, like, do I have to, and have that count into my age of money? Does that have to stay in my to be budgeted, or is that just like this amount of money has been sitting in your general account for this long?
Okay. That's a good question. You're asking about the top right thing in the app that
yes.
says blank days, age of money. Mine says 238 days, age of money.
Sweet.
Yeah. I have no idea what that means.
Oh, okay.
I just know like what I told you, which is, and so I don't really get where they're getting the 238 number from. That's great. I imagine higher number is better there, right?
Yeah, sure.
but like, I just know that what we do is this month's paychecks pays for next month. And we haven't really tried to get any further ahead than that.
Yeah.
I guess YNAB thinks that we are further ahead. I don't know. That's probably something for me to figure out. Maybe it's on the podcast. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we've got people out there listening that maybe use YNAB and can clarify that for us, but.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So it's pretty nifty. Pretty nifty. I have one little niggle on this one.
Oh my gosh. I wish you would never say that word.
You can't like create categories and move categories around on the mobile apps.
Yeah, the mobile app was even more limited in the previous version.
I'm sure. Like, I'm sure I'm coming in on like this the era of YNAB online where it's like, okay, the mobile app is finally starting to get functional enough for most people, but I'm coming in like guns blazing, wanting to just do everything on you know, my phone, and it won't let me do that yet. So,
yeah, they've been really careful about how they change fundamental things because there are so many people. I mean, they had a system that they built the software to function in, and it was pretty strict because it's trying to help you spend your money more wisely and like be better prepared for life.
Yeah.
And so the system was built very strictly around like the four rules and a couple of other things, right? So as they've introduced these major changes to how YNAB works, they've been trying to do it very slowly so that it doesn't just blow up everyone's budget kind of thing. And I mean, I can see both sides to it though, because you're right. Most people want certain functionality on their phone.
Yes. I want all of it, please. all of the functionality on my phone.
You might be on the extreme side of this one, but yeah.
It's a mobile first world.
Okay, hey, here's
man.
This thing on Age of Money that you can cut out if it doesn't work.
Okay.
Sometimes it's helpful to explain what something isn't in order to explain what it is. So here it goes.
Oh,
Age of Money is not your burn rate. It doesn't tell you how long your money would last given the same historic spending patterns. It doesn't tell you how much money you have, net worth. It doesn't tell you if you're if you are about to spend your last dollar, account balance is due. It doesn't tell you if you're properly diversified in your investments, whether your savings rate is appropriate, or whether you should spend that much money on organic fill in the blanks. That's funny. I don't want to offend people that buy those after all. I'm reading you from the website.
Yes.
It doesn't tell you if you're increasing your debt, your credit card balance, or whether you should eat out tonight, your restaurant category. If you push on Age of Money to do any or all of those things, it will break down just like any other metric. Now, what it is. Age of Money tells you, on average, how many days you let your dollars sit before having them do the jobs they're assigned. That is all. So I guess it's tracking how much you budgeted versus how much you spent over time.
Gotcha.
And somehow putting a day range on that. Dollars that sit are better than dollars that don't. If the last dollar you spend came from a paycheck 6 weeks ago, that's better than the last dollar you spent being from yesterday's paycheck. That's what Age of Money describes.
All right. That makes sense.
That's great. There's got to be some algorithm in the code that works that out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay. Probably fairly complicated.
Well, cool. So that's YNAB.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really great. I would definitely recommend trying out the 34-day trial.
Yeah, definitely.
It's free. And I don't think you have to put in a credit card either.
I don't know if I've actually even put in a credit card yet.
That's awesome.
Let me look at my account information. And no, I don't know.
And it's also one of these awesome new age subscription companies where you can actually cancel whenever you want because it's your money and you should be able to do that no matter what the service is.
Yes.
Unlike, say, for example, oh, I don't know, Comcast, one of the worst companies in the world.
Yes. That's always a nice company to throw out when you're frustrated because everyone agrees with you.
Oh, yeah. For a long time when I lived in Oklahoma, I heard a lot of things about Comcast that were not positive and a lot of vitriol and agreement over those things that were not positive about Comcast and how much they're terrible. And I never really understood or related to it because I couldn't get Comcast in the city I was in. And now that I do have Comcast and it's basically like a monopoly where they're the only service provider that I could reasonably choose, I so miss the old days.
Yes. I could go on a whole rabbit trail on this, but I probably shouldn't because we've been pretty rabbit traily already.
That's true.
So if there's tech that you think we should cover in the future, you can go ahead and email us at ask@techreformation.com. Send us in an audio file, like, I don't know, 5 minutes long or however long it takes for you to describe, you know.
2 minutes. 2 minutes long. Send us in an audio file that's 2 minutes long and no longer, or we will not use it.
Well, I mean, if you're, as long as you, you know, keep moving and you're, you know, if you have, as long as you have a perfect radio voice and you are completely scripted and there's no flaw in your presentation at all, you know, then send it in to us.
No. Excellent. I like it. Also, I would like to call out a special one on this one. If you have used YNAB and you no longer do for reason X, Y, or Z, email us or tweet at us or tweet at me, although I won't get it if you tweet at me because I'm not on the internet. More on that in a second. Let us know because I'd like to know why and talk through that with you because maybe it's not as awesome as I think it is and I could learn something. So
yeah,
reach out to us.
Our sponsor this week is missionalware.com, the place for Reformed theology apparel, gifts, and more. It's finally starting to get cold enough around here that I'm looking at my old hoodies and they're all, you know, they've been gone through the washer, you know, hundreds of times now. They're like 5 years old. They're all pilly. And I'm thinking back to the wonderful era when I got like three new hoodies at once. And you know that feeling of just a fresh, nice, warm hoodie that's just so soft? Well, These Mission Aware hoodies are really tempting me. Mission Aware is always about the design and the great, you know, historical theology quotes, you know, without the gospel, everything is useless and vain by John Calvin. There's, you know, be killing sin or it will be killing you, by John Owen, and just other great designs and sayings and stuff that you can wear around and wrap yourself with a warm, warm theological hug. So get on over to Mission Aware, let them know that you heard about them from us when you check out, and get yourself a nice warm hoodie for the wintertime. So for our main topic this week, Ben and I have referred to our various phone or internet fasts in the past month and a half. Not a month and a half, more like a month. And we figured we'd talk about that today. Give a little update on like what our feelings are on how this is going, what we've experienced. I don't know, general observations about our habits. That sort of stuff. So let's see. Do you want to kick it off, Ben? Like what?
Well,
so
I will
describe what are you currently like? What are you currently fasting from? Because I think our fasts might be kind of different.
I don't know if I would even use the word fast.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I would use the word fast for me either. But
okay. Okay. Well, I didn't know if you like if that legitimately was like how you refer to it or how you think of it.
Well, it's an easy thing to tell people, but it's a little bit more nuanced than that.
Okay, cool.
So,
I am abstaining from, social media of basically any kind. Okay. And let me qualify that, personal social media, because there are times where I have to do things for work that I don't want to lose my job over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, for example, I'll give a confession right up front. I had to be on Twitter/Facebook the other day, like actually two subsequent days. I had to either be on Twitter one day and then on Facebook the other for something. I was either looking, I don't remember what it was. It may have been a business or a person I was looking up for how to do something in development, or I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I am logged into my account on one or both of those platforms in Chrome on my work side of Chrome. And I got sucked into the vortex of distraction.
Ah.
It only happened the one time, and all I did was check all of the little badge notifications that I've had, and I had like more than 30 on both.
Wow.
So it was very easily distracting. Yet I feel like it is a confession nonetheless, because I wasn't supposed to do that and I did, so I apologize. And my neighbor who I'm doing this with, I've already confessed to and apologized to, because it was a bit of betrayal.
So much betrayal.
Mostly joking there. It also involves, for me, deleting what we've called time-wasting apps on our phones. So all the social media apps are gone, including, and in addition to apps like Netflix or Hulu or, you know, whatever it is, entertainment/video-watching apps. YouTube is gone. So I'm now down to basically one screen. And then there's like one row on another screen. And so I'll often pick my phone up and be like, there's nothing to do on this. What am I, why do I have this? There's nothing for me to do on it. Why did I just pick this up? So that's basically what it looks like. I've been doing it since about January 1st. I don't remember if we started right before that or right after that.
Okay.
But it was around then. Cool. And it wasn't necessarily a New Year's resolution. It was just kind of good timing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Generated in part by the Simon Sinek video. Just that's what got the conversation started. I originally was going to do a lot more, which maybe we can talk about this more if you want, like get a flip phone or charge my phone in another room or not take my phone into meetings, things like that, in the same sort of vein of being present where I am and not being distracted by the internet, but haven't really done any of those things. Other more than just thinking about them more consciously now. So like even today, I remember, had my phone out in a meeting and thought, or had it like on the table or whatever, and remembered, you know, like I don't really need to do that. And it might be communicating that I don't think that this person's important or what they're saying is important.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put it in my pocket.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So
what about you? What does it look like for you?
Yeah. So for me, so I did initially, I just deleted the social media apps off my phone. And then I played a lot of Mario Run because that just came out. And then I decided, no, this completely defeats the purpose. So I deleted that too. My initial thing was I was not going on any kind of social media at all, except for Slack. Slack, I feel, is safe social media because that does not...
I don't think that's social media.
Well, right. It doesn't suck my life away because there's a limited, like, it's limited in the number of, like, channels and responses there are. Like, while we have a good community going, like, it's not an infinite, like, people just keep talking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like, usually I can check through it in 10 minutes and be good. But Facebook and Twitter are like Twitter. There's constantly things being tweeted. Facebook will scroll you to the end of all time while still showing you new things. And so I was getting rid of Facebook and Twitter. There was, should I like walk you through my month or like, as far as, so there are times that the apps were back on my phone, this past month.
Derek,
one of which,
pray for you.
No, one of which was by necessity because I admin this, Facebook group, for local dance community. And there was news that came out of, like a pretty well esteemed, like national dance teacher who, what's the right word? Accounts of this man assaulting women, like raping them, doing sexual assault.
And snap.
Yeah. So I just wanted to like, you know, there was a discussion going on in the group about this.
That you needed to be a part of course.
That I needed to be a part of because there were people like, you know, gaslighting the story from the stories from the women that were recounting these accounts and that sort of thing. So needed to be there for that. So the app was downloaded to my phone, put on notifications. And I noticed instantly that my time was starting to be wasted because this app was on my phone. So that was almost helpful for the contrast of showing that, wow, yes, I do notice the difference between, you know, not having the app on my phone and then having the app on my phone. Now that the conversations died down, like it was maybe like half a week and then I, you know, deleted the app again. So yeah, now I am not, off of social media entirely. Now they are still deleted off my phone, but I will check them on my computer every once in a while. But that's different because then I'm sitting down to do that. So I'm sitting down to check up on stuff.
That is a different category of thing.
And I'm much more willing to declare bankruptcy in Twitter.
That's good.
Like I'll scroll up to like the top 100 tweets or like even less than that. And then you just kind of go through.
Were you like me where you would like, for example, Tweetbot has timeline syncing. So you would start where you left off.
Oh,
and
yes.
You would read every single tweet.
Absolutely.
No matter how long it took.
I'm a Twitter completionist for sure.
Yes. Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Okay. I am hardcore that. And it's probably one of the worst things for me ever.
Yeah, it really is. Cause most of the time, like, yeah, I've tried going through and thinning like the people I follow, but there's like
all the time.
It's still not enough. So getting to a point where I'm not relying on that for my dopamine fix every day, allows me to, declare bankruptcy a lot more quickly when I do sit down.
Where are you getting your dopamine from? I might need a new dealer.
I'm just moping around sad, dopamine-less right now. No, I just, I pile pillows on top of my baby girl and watch her giggle with laughter because she, for some reason, loves pillows being on top of her. Like
that is amazing.
She's such a weird little child. But, so that's a great dopamine thing. Just get yourself a baby. Get yourself a baby,
Ben. That's fantastic. That is another conversation for another day. Anyway, I recently have been contemplating what does stage two of this thing look like.
Yeah.
And like even today, thinking about, I knew we were going to talk about this. And I was thinking like, how's it been going? What have I learned? What have I noticed? What am I going to do in February? Because like, at least with me and Hunter, that's my neighbor, we just planned on doing this for January and just kind of assessing after that, seeing how it went. And I think in general, I like want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm considering ways to even make it more more of a thing, like deactivating my Facebook type of stuff.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know. Like, I might not do that. I'm still thinking through it. I'm just saying, like, my thought process is more along the lines of, this seems like it's a good thing for XYZ reason, which maybe we'll get into in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm trying to answer the question, why do I need these things, period?
Yeah.
Or question mark, rather. And I realize we could argue about the definition of the word need. That's fine. Maybe that's not the right word.
Yeah.
Because I certainly don't need them. But, like,
you only need the love of Jesus, Ben. That's all
right.
You need.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Right.
Love is all you need.
And interpersonal interaction also. Not good for man to be alone type of stuff. Anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Point being, that's sort of where I'm at. What do you, have you thought that at all? Or how long are you going to keep doing this thing?
Yeah. So that's a very good question. And it kind of brings me in. So I've been making, I've had a note in my notes app.
Oh, that's a better idea. I should do that.
And what I've been doing is making observations about social media. Like whenever things occur to me, I write them in there. And so one of the first things I wrote was, going back on, I see everything as utterly vapid and just pointless for the most part.
I'm gonna mail you 50 cents for that word.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I enjoy words that earn me 50 cents every time I say
that. That was a lie. I'm not going to actually do that.
Oh, you've crushed my spirits. but really, like, there's not a whole lot important going on social media from what I am seeing.
Yep.
There's a lot of people yelling about Trump and a lot of people yelling about people yelling about Trump.
Yep.
And, you know, there's things on there that are fun, like the things on there that I want to see. Like, I love seeing, you know, Tanya's videos of Rainey, you know, there while I'm at work, that kind of thing. Like, those little things that bring me joy. So there is some value in the, you know, bringing me joy, but most of the things do not bring me joy. Like, most of the videos that circulate because they're popular, like, I watch them very differently now. I watch them and I see them as, oh, this is mildly entertaining, but it's 30 seconds.
Critically. Yeah. You watch them more critically.
Yeah.
Not negatively, but critically.
I think it can all get summed up as I'm getting a higher standard for my entertainment, for what entertains me, and 30 seconds of like a little gag, like memes are, I still think memes are funny and stuff, but, you know, people going on and on, like, and I just filling up my timeline, like, okay, it was funny the first two times. I was listening to a podcast that I don't think I'm going to mention because it's actually like the hosts are actually pretty crass in their language, but it's really, really funny. But, but most people will probably not enjoy it, so I'm not going to mention it. But they were making observations about, they all did like a Twitter fast in that they decided to not tweet for a week. They still read their timelines, but they did not tweet. And they made the observation that, like, watching people go through the cycle of getting angry at something is no longer as fun because they can't participate in it. And I'm noticing that with me too, you know, when I don't participate in something for a long time, I look at it and see, wow, there's a lot of people spending a lot of energy on this when this is going to last for 2 days and then everyone's going to go jump on something else. Like,
that's so interesting. I feel like our experiences are radically different. even though we're engaged in this very, very similar thing.
Mm-hmm. But what are your thoughts? Which is,
well, I wasn't really, I feel like a lot of what I'm hearing from you is what Jeremy Lundmark said on episode 67. Seven?
Sure.
Maybe it was 66. I don't know. Anyway, whichever one he was on, you know, he basically was like, what's the point of all this? I'm not actually causing any effective change. Mm-hmm. I'm just engaged in all these arguments and watching other people in these arguments, and there's the vitriol and it's not really helpful, so I'll vanish, right? And that's, I'm hearing a lot of that from you too. There may be some more of it for you personally, which is that, like, we can get into that too. But for me, it was less about what's out there and more about what's in here in terms of, I don't know. I think I was just going to the entertainment to fill time,
mm-hmm.
Instead of being with people and like engaging with people.
Yeah.
And in like, even to the point of, I've mentioned this before, getting annoyed when people would interrupt me checking my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Which is like the most radically horrible, wicked and depraved thing about me that maybe I know of, but it's like, that is what I was experiencing. And that's why I wanted to try this. And I think I've seen only good things come out of it. I will say only good things relative to what I just described. I will say overall, at least one thing that was significant that happened, I just completely missed, like didn't even know that it happened. Because I wasn't on Facebook, mm-hmm. a lot of my friends, a lot of church, people, a lot of like organizations I was involved in college, like my fraternity, will use Facebook to communicate events and even just things that are happening. And so, for example, I just completely missed last weekend, never even knew it was a thing, an event with my fraternity alumni, because they posted on Facebook and that was the only way I ever would have seen it. And I would have liked to know about that. Mm-hmm. So that is, I think, one trade-off of just not being there at all. I realize that you don't have to do what I did to try this out, which is just be gone completely. But but I don't know. So now it's like, I'm sort of going back to a theology of entertainment type of thing.
Like, yeah.
Like, how should I be entertained? What should I be entertained by? Should I be entertained, period? Like, should I be seeking things to entertain me? You know, I don't know. It's like those questions.
Go become a monk and I think, be involved with no one and be entertained nothing.
I don't mean to be ascetic about it at all. Like, I'm not just saying it's inherently bad. I should interact with it in no way.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be clear about that. Like, I think I've said that before, but I also know people, I know very godly people on both sides who mm-hmm. engage with it as their job. And who engage with it, which is like a ton, maybe the most you could probably, right?
Yeah.
8 to 5 every day. And then I also know people who just don't have accounts, like don't have Twitter accounts or Facebook accounts, both very godly. So it's not like one side, you have to do one side or you can't like follow the Lord well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that. I can't say that.
Well, yeah. And everything that I'm saying, I think I would put under the umbrella of, these are things I've noticed about myself and things that I am.
Yeah.
I am finding totally would agree. That this is working or not working for me.
Yeah.
And
but I also don't want to wrap it in pragmatism, right? I don't want it to just, I want it to be theologically driven, not pragmatically driven.
Hmm.
And I don't think you're saying that you want that, but for me, although it started as an experiment of like, what will happen if I do this, it's got to be more than that, or it's sort of vanity, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that doing my fast has shown the vanity that exists in the things that I used to participate in a lot.
Yeah. That's what I kept thinking when you were describing that was, man, this sounds a lot like vanity.
Yeah.
Or meaningless, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
you just said vapid, so it was much better.
Right. Some of the other things I noted was that social media does not typically make me a better person, nor does it really entertain me overall.
Yes, like, agreed.
Most of the time, it makes me feel strong emotions that I don't want to feel, and for reasons that are not worth, like on the scale of the emotions I feel about something, it's not that important. Like, social media brings out a lot of emotions about things that are, and inflates the importance of things beyond what they should be inflated to. So like you were saying, how you like you would miss things on social media. Like I would apply that to, you know, news that came out. Like I can't even remember what things like I was listening to a podcast and someone was talking about a current event. I was like, wow, I hadn't heard about this. This is a really yes. weird feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I knew the same thing. I felt the same thing. And that actually goes back to another point that I felt like was different, but now I'm learning is very similar. For me, a lot of it was like being in the know.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And like, if someone brings something up, then I want to be able to have something to contribute to that. Almost like a Tim Challies, like he was talking about when he was on the show, episode 46. Keep quizzing me.
You're ridiculous.
Just kidding. Just kidding. But one of the things he said on the show was, if you feel like you need to comment on something to give it meaning, you have some serious deep-seated issues. And I'm noticing that in myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't want that. Right. Just like you said. Like, and if it is there, I want to repent of it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this has been a fun experiment. And I think I'm going to keep going with the no social media apps on my phone and, you know, the periodically checking in on my computer so that, you know, I don't miss like baby announcements or in something that I really ought to be knowing about or that sort of thing, or someone's getting married, you know?
Yeah. Cause at this point I would totally agree with you there that if I ever do it again, and I think I will, like, I don't think I'll just be off it forever, but if I do get on again / when I get on again, I think I won't do it on my phone anymore because I just feel like I don't need to, like I can check in. Maybe I'll start to like those features that I've always hated because I've been a Twitter completionist. But like the while you're away thing, maybe I'll just trust Twitter to curate that crap for me.
Yeah. Right.
And, whatever I don't know about, it'll just be blissful ignorance. Like that's fine.
Right. And if
I don't need to know everything,
if it's really important to know, you're probably going to find it out from a different source.
Probably so. Yeah.
So
in most cases, and there are exceptions, but yeah, I mean, in most cases, I want to ask you one more thing before we close on this one.
Yeah.
What have you done with all the extra time?
Oh, that is something that I'm still working on. So I'm reading a little bit of Law and Gospel by C.F.W. Walther. And
I don't even know who that is. That's great, though.
He's a Lutheran theologian from way back in the day.
Sounds like it. Law and Gospel. Figured that would be Lutheran of some kind.
Yep. Yep. So that's been really good. I've been reading that in small chunks. And I am also still filling in some of my spare time with, Netflix and like things that are still like in that area of ultimately vapidity. It's a smoke, it's a vapor. But I also realized that like I can't be doing productive things 24/7 or else my brain is going to melt down. Like entertainment, yep. I would say entertainment is still important. Like I still need to figure out where I can smile.
Didn't mean to say it wasn't.
Right. And I know that.
Just clarifying.
Yeah.
Not really for you, but just clarifying.
But still working on that balance. And mostly right now it's about being mindful of this is really what I spent my evening on. And, you know, just being aware of that. I have been much more aware of what I've been doing the past month simply because my routine has radically changed from, you know, automatically tapping on that one spot on Launch Center Pro over and over and over. I'm still breaking that out of myself. Like when I'm, when I'm standing around, like I'll bring up my phone, I'll open Launch Center Pro and swipe over to where Facebook used to be and it does nothing. And I'm like, wah.
One of the first things I did in my Chrome personal profile on my computer was download a block site extension and block Facebook, Twitter, Netflix, Hulu. I think I even blocked LinkedIn at first because it's like I just know instinctively that when I open up a web browser, I hit Facebook or Twitter. And I don't trust myself, rather than get sucked into wasting hours of time because I forgot that I'm doing this thing, it was just like, I'll just know that I'm going to screw this up and block myself from it in the future.
Yep.
So I did that. And I still have it on the work side. I had to get rid of it because I needed it for work. But on the personal side, it's been great.
Yeah.
And every time I hit it, it's like, you've tried this 43 times. Please stop. most of which are not intentional, but...
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
I think the
first 10 were like, hey, check out this cool thing I installed on my computer.
And I think that's probably, like, I don't have that reflexive action on my computer yet. So I think that's why I'm still safe to visit Facebook and Twitter on my computer.
That is great.
Because, like, when I go there, I'm like, oh, I haven't checked Facebook in a long time. Let me go check Facebook. But, yeah, anyway. So, what have you been doing with your spare time?
I mentioned a few weeks ago that I've read more Bible and memorized more Bible, maybe than ever before, but at least tied with. And that's still true, which is great.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that is kind of like I was saying earlier, just forcing myself into good habits. Knowing my own sinful nature well enough to know that when I have two choices, I'll choose the wrong one,
mm-hmm.
and giving myself only good choices to choose from.
Yeah, right.
I mean, not that, like, I don't know. I'm not even sure I need to clarify this, but just in case, not that I think I'm earning God's favor by doing any of these good things, because I don't think that.
Right.
So it's not like good in that sense, just to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that I've always wanted to do anyway. So why would I not, like, cause myself to do them if I can?
Right.
So, you know, things like read scripture and verses and stuff like that. Those are now the quote unquote time wasting apps on my phone. Like, if I'm going to pick it up and try to waste time, those are the choices I have.
Nice.
So it's like, okay, that's great. Like, that's never going to be a bad thing.
Yeah.
If I'm reading more Bible. So, you know, and there are still other things like, Anna and I have been watching 24. Have you seen 24?
I have not, but I know the general premise.
Well, Amazon Video has all however many jillion seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are still things like that I will do from time to time. But I think in general, it's just significantly less, which is great. Feel like I'm not super, super stressed about getting seminary assignments in on time because I just don't have a whole lot of, like, times where I'm like, oh, where did that hour go?
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Sure you can understand.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's been good. And then I think just being like, I don't know if this is measurable or tangible in any sense, but I have a strong sense that when I'm with people, I'm more with them than I was previously. So like caring about what's going on in people's lives, listening when people are talking to me and being able to understand and comprehend and remember the things that I'm told, because I'm not thinking about how long has it been since I checked Twitter. I probably missed 100 tweets by now.
Yeah, right.
I'm being hyperbolic to communicate the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I'm not being literal, but yeah, for emphasis.
Right.
There's the rhetoric.
Indeed. Well, good. This has been fun.
Yeah, I hope... If I do it again, like next month, I hope in month two I'll have more data to speak from.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you'll
upsides.
You already
downsides.
Have, like, the first time through, like, okay, these are I had no idea what to experience, like what to expect. Now I kind of know what to expect. Now I can kind of go in with more of a game plan. That sort of thing. Yeah.
I actually imagine because of the way I've approached it that my presuppositions have caused me to see more upsides than downsides to this, and so that's one thing I'm in particular looking forward to, because I'm trying to find that balance, right, of how do I thoughtfully and biblically engage this stuff rather than just being a mindless consumer.
Yep.
Well, Derek, do you have any recos?
Get off of Facebook and Twitter for a month.
I don't really have any because all my recos usually come from the internet.
It's true.
Maybe I'm more boring now. That's a trade-off.
Yeah, yeah. There is the whole why do they make you read old literature? You know, in high school, you know, it's just so you can get more jokes. So you're more of a spicy person. Now it's like, why do you be on social media? So you can get more jokes. Same type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Yeah, so I guess we're pretty lame on the recos this week. Ben, is there a good way to, if people want to get in on the conversation and talk about what we were talking about, what would that be? Do we have anything like that? Like any kind of conversational apparatus that someone could use?
Apparatus? You are full of good words this week. Maybe you're always full of good words and I just don't notice it.
Or I don't know. I'm pretty loose tonight, so I'm like more pretty expressive. Loose. Okay, don't take that the wrong way.
If you would like to connect with us and discuss any of the things you hear on the show, you can always get to us in our Slack channel. Nope, in our Slack team. You can always get to us in our Slack team. Sign up at slack.techreformation.com. And I'll just note this week, as the music plays and you've probably already stopped listening, that there are hundreds of people in this Slack team who like to talk about technology and theology. And so if you're one of those and you've been listening for a while, jump in, man. You're missing out.
It is awesome. I supremely enjoy watching the conversations that happen.
And sometimes participating.
And sometimes participating.
Me too.
You can also visit our website if you want to look at some of the past shows that Ben has named by number, infuriatingly accurately. You can go search for those on our website, techreformation.com. If you'd want to search by topic, we've talked about YNAB a couple of times. You could go, you know, put that in the handy dandy little search bar. Get yourself some episodes on YNAB.
The trick is, Derek, I referred to them by number because for a long time, the names were utterly meaningless. And so it's like I could be like, oh, go listen to A Good Stick Is Hard to Find. That'll be great. That has just what you need. And people will be like, what the heck is he talking about? He's off his rocker again.
Yeah, yeah.
Episode 3, by the way.
Shut up. You can share this episode with a friend if you would like to get us into more people's ears. If you just share this episode with a friend, share it with like three of your friends if you really want to. But that's the best way to spread the word around is you guys. So thanks for your constant support in listenership and many of you sharing the episode with other people.
Yeah, we talk occasionally about how there's just a whole ton of people listening to this thing and how we don't understand why. But for some reason, the Lord's chosen to grace us with you and your listenership. We're really grateful for you. And really, the only reason it gets out there is because people share it. So if you like it, do us that favor and tell somebody about it.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
So you're a tweet us guy?
What do you mean?
Not like tweet at us?
No, I am a tweet us. I am a tweet us.
Okay. Every day I realize the chasm between us is growing larger.
First Tesla, now tweet us.
It's all okay. Right. We'll tweet us, guys.
We'll get through.
Send those tweets.
Friends have these rocky, you know, times.
Yeah.
Together.
It's called Crappy Valley. We had a talk on it once in Downline.
Oh, yeah?
Did I tell you about this?
No.
This guy drew an arc where it was like flat. You're meeting someone for the first time, acquaintance. And then, you know, your relationship kind of like you get to know each other mm-hmm. and it's sort of going up. And then you have your first big conflict and it's just straight down into like this gulf, this gully, mm-hmm. this dark, you know, valley of the shadow of death type of thing. And he called it Crappy Valley. And he says most people, they duck out of the relationship in Crappy Valley, and then they just start over at the beginning. And that's why we don't ever get to Friend Mountain, which is the peak.
Mm.
So you got to go through Crappy Valley to get through Friend Mountain.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah. We're in Crappy Valley, but so we're making it.
We have to pursue. We have to pursue each other through this Crappy Valley of Teslas and Tweetus and all of that.
I don't know about pursuing you, but I will persevere.
Yes. Yes. There you go. That's a much better way of putting that.
I'm not sure why I would be pursuing you.
I'm going to work in the morning, Ben's running behind me. Wait, I thought you were in a completely different state than I am. Like,
am I
five
trying
states
to catch
over?
You or kill you or what? Like, why am I pursuing you?
Yeah, I'd prefer, yeah, the persevere, not pursue. We'll go with that.
My air conditioning just turned, or my heater, I guess, just turned off, and it sounded terrifying. I've never been this close to it when it turns off. It was almost like a mortar sound, you know, right before it explodes. Like,
oh, wow. That is terrifying. Oh.
Ran out of steam there at the end. Like one of those, you know?
And yes. Then, right. Except it didn't do the sound.
Right, yeah, no. Thankfully, I'm still with you. It did not explode.
Perfect. All right, I was worried there for a second.